Sunday House Call with Dr. Barry Dworkin on Ottawa's News Talk Radio 580 CFRA. The advice and recommendations in this program are for general educational purposes and not a diagnosis. You should consult a physician or health professional directly before beginning or changing any course of health treatment. You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.
Just a quick reminder, we'll be taking your phone calls at 1-800-580-2372, 1-800-580-2372 in the second hour of our show.
We tend to associate Alzheimer's disease with progressive memory impairment. Forgetfulness, a common symptom, is one of several indicators of cognitive decline. A new Canadian survey of caregivers of Alzheimer's disease patients found that the most common symptom identified next to forgetfulness was verbal repetition, which has been shown to be an early sign of dementia. Dr. Bill Dalziel is chief of the Ottawa Regional Geriatric Program of Eastern Ontario, co-chair of the Champlain Dementia Network and associate professor in geriatric medicine at the University of Ottawa, and joins us today. Good afternoon.
Hi.
How many Canadians suffer with Alzheimer's disease today, and how many are diagnosed each year?
It's about 400,000 in Canada who have a diagnosis of dementia, which includes Alzheimer's and the other common conditions such as vascular dementia or mixed Alzheimer's and vascular dementia. The rate of development of dementia is in Canada is 1 every 4 minutes.
Wow.
1 every 7 seconds worldwide. So we're looking at a doubling to about 750,000 in only 20 years, mostly driven by the aging of the population, mm-hmm. because the biggest risk factor for dementia by far is age.
Now, and that turns us to the pathophysiology. What is our current understanding about the pathophysiology of the disease? What actually happens to the brain to lead to this change in function?
Well, if we structure, you do see things in the brain called plaques and tangles, and those are related to aggregation of abnormal proteins. Typically, the big two proteins are tau protein and amyloid protein, which result in the formation of those abnormal structures in the brain. Those are associated in some way with a change in neurotransmitters. If you look at the drugs that have been used for Alzheimer's, the neurotransmitter systems that are targeted by the drugs include the GABA system and the cholinergic system, and we'll probably talk about pharmacotherapy mm-hmm. a little bit later. So those are the major changes that you see related to Alzheimer's. What we found in the last 5 or 10 years is that the presence of microvascular disease or little tiny strokes in the brain is very synergistic with the plaques and tangles of Alzheimer's. So we've come to recognize that certainly over the age of 75 and especially over 80, most of the dementia we see is a synergy between Alzheimer's type changes and vascular changes in the brain.
Now, are these vascular changes attributable to similar risks that we see for heart disease, that is people who have uncontrolled high blood pressure, lipidemias, smoking history? Are these factors that contribute to this clinical picture?
It's all of those things that traditionally we've thought of as risk factors for heart attacks or risk factors for kidney problems or risk factors for stroke. All of those are now recognized as risk factors for dementia. And on average, each of those will double your risk dementia that you have.
So in other words, again, it comes down to also preventing the onset is by controlling these particular factors.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. So we're looking at a couple of things in terms of the prevention of dementia. Control of the risk factors is probably the most important. So getting your blood pressure under control and your diabetes and not being a sedentary couch potato mm-hmm. are all good things. We're also looking at earlier identification of dementia, which can really head off a lot of problems and allow earlier treatment. So it's pretty easy to calculate someone's risk for dementia. At age 65, it's 2% of the population. It doubles every 5 years. So a 75-year-old would be up to 8%, an 80-year-old would be up to 16%, and then it doubles again for every vascular risk factor and every first degree relative who has a history of dementia. So you can see most people in above 75 are likely to have at least one vascular risk factor, and they should be screened for dementia just by virtue of being over 75.
And turning to the survey of the caregivers for people who have family members who are suffering from dementias, what was the impetus for the survey? What were they looking for?
Well, I think we pay a little bit of lip service to caregivers in the field of medicine, and we ask caregivers, are you feeling stressed or burdened? It's important to recognize that the elderly generation come from a fairly stoic upbringing, so they're not nearly as likely to say, I'm stressed and burnt out and such. And so it was really felt we have to pay more attention to look at the impact of a disease like Alzheimer's or dementia on caregivers and pay a lot more attention to trying to make sure the caregiver is supported. So it really came from that to look at what are the major areas of impact on caregivers.
What were the areas that were asked or questions that were asked of the caregivers?
Well, they asked about physical health and mental health, including does anyone have any thoughts of suicide? And that was as high as 10% in the study. Looked at areas of how work was impacted and financial impact. And it really was quite apparent from this study that there are very significant impacts on caregivers with a disease like dementia.
So given that the difficulties that the caregivers face with respect to some of the symptoms that people with dementia experience, and I guess it varies according to the degree of severity of the dementia, how is it impacting their ongoing care? Are they sort of saying, well, I can't handle this anymore, I don't have the support, I have to place my loved one somewhere?
Yeah, I think when you look at our old so-called system of care, I think a person with dementia, which runs over 10 years, is the number one example of how a disease can stress the system of care and expose the problems in our alleged seamless system of care and really put a lot of pressure on the caregiver. The estimates of where formal supports go and where informal supports go, 90% of the services that keep frail elderly or demented elderly people at home are given by family caregivers. Our formal support service is only about 10%. So you're looking at caregivers who are, you know, shouldering loads of 40, 50, 60 hours a week, more than a full-time job in terms of caregiving for someone, allowing them to stay at home, which is better for them and actually better for our healthcare system in terms of nursing home placement. But I think the problem is we do an inadequate job at recognizing and handling caregiver stress and burden, and we probably don't do a good enough job in terms of education and support for caregivers at home.
Some of the, or at least one of the areas that was mentioned in this survey was that, and what caregivers found very difficult were some of the repetitive behaviors, for example, the verbal repetition or certain activities or actions that were repeated over and over again, even though they were responded to in kind, and yet the person suffering with dementia would continue with this behavior. Is this, in terms of caring for people with either suspected dementia or with a diagnosis of dementia, does this repetitive behavior fall into an area where you can have an index of suspicion that this is a particular disorder?
Oh, absolutely. We have to pay more attention to the early warning signs of dementia. I talked earlier about screening asymptomatic people if they have risk factors by virtue of age, family history, or vascular risk factors. But also it's early recognition. And you see a tremendous variability of families bringing people in early or families bringing people in who are already in the moderate stages of dementia. A lot of it is observation power. Some of it is stereotyping, so it can be a little bit of a stereotype that an older person is senile and it's not a disease. That sort of goes back 15 years, and I think it's really important that the public be aware that just as there are early warning signs for a stroke or a heart attack, there are early warning signs for dementia, and you can't just dismiss them as normal aging. So the early warning signs you'd be beginning to look at is changes in terms of forgetfulness, verbal repetition, repetition of stories or questions, significant troubles in word-finding ability, and particularly if those changes are affecting someone's ability to carry out day-to-day function like grocery shopping and planning a trip or doing cooking. We have to go a little bit beyond cognition as well, because there's also psychobehavioral symptoms, which may include irritability, apathy, agitation, anxiety. Those are all other warning symptoms of a dementia.
Are there treatments and therapies available to help improve this condition, that is the repetitive behaviors, and also to be able to provide caregivers with a means of having some measure of control, knowing that there is something that they can do to reduce the stresses that these behaviors put upon the entire family?
Yeah, it's really quite interesting, because if you look at it at face value, you wouldn't imagine that a few repeated questions would be that bothersome. But I just had a recent experience with a family member who has dementia and was visiting, and over a space of 30 minutes, she asked me how old our cat was 4 times. And I finally said, well, I'm going to go and get a yellow sit and put it on the cat, saying it's 20 years old.
Right.
And here I am, a trained empathetic geriatric professional, and it still was frustrating to me. So it's an important target symptom to look at. We certainly do have medications that can help with the symptoms of Alzheimer's. And from a recent study done by Ken Rockwood, who's a geriatrician on the East Coast, it's very clear that these drugs can help with symptoms such as repetitive questions, stories, those kinds of things.
Are there other things, other cues that people can use in the house? So for a caregiver, is there a way for them, for example, the family member that asked you about the age of the cat, and you said putting a sticker on the cat. Well, maybe not the sticker on the cat, but maybe giving them a piece of paper to hold on to with the answer all the time, so that you can say, you see, you asked this question, I wrote it down for you. Are there any things that people can do to sort of reduce that type of stress that results from this repetitive behavior?
Well, if you gave them a piece of paper, they'd probably
forget
misplace
it.
Not sure that's the right answer. There
right.
have been some stuff done with reality orientation, and I don't think it's really that useful. You know, it's not important to me what day of the week it is.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm on holiday, I hope I forget what date it is, if not month. So I think there are some aids to memories, such as speed dial of commonly used numbers and a calendar and writing things down. All of those things can help to a certain degree. If someone's having trouble with something functionally, you look at either making it easier or you look at when doing that prosthetic function. So it's sort of a prosthetic leg. You have a prosthetic memory. We all use yellow stickets. That's
mm-hmm.
what it is. You have prosthetic function in terms of someone else helping you with finances or shopping. So those are support areas. And then you have specific anti-dementia drug therapy with the drugs such as cholinesterase inhibitors, which have been shown to help in terms of cognition, function, and behavior, and really should be used much more than they're currently being used.
Where can people get more information about the early signs of dementia, when, and also information about when to consult a physician? At what point do they say, you know, something is really amiss and it's time, obviously earlier the better, to see a physician and have this treated, or at least diagnosed and treated, so that prevents some of the stresses that occur early on when it remains undiagnosed and untreated?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, first of all, the best information giving is the Alzheimer's Society, and we have a fantastic Alzheimer's Society in Canada, and especially the more regional offices, such as the office in Ottawa, is absolutely outstanding. I think, you know, you have to be on the lookout for changes, because that's what signals a problem, is changes. So if someone has very mild changes in their memory, it's not affecting function, that's probably not a big thing, but it could be useful to screen them with a few simple questions, such as draw a clock and put the hands at 10 after 11,
mm-hmm.
and naming a list of animals in 1 minute for which the normal is 15, or three-word recall. There's some pretty simple screening tools that could even be used by the public or be at Shoppers Drug Mart.
Right.
So all sorts of professionals can pay better attention to it. The receptionist in a physician's office who fields 4 phone calls asking what date is my appointment is probably a tip-off. The pharmacist who has to give someone a dosette so they can remember how to take their pills should probably be passing a message to the physician that this isn't a dosette deficiency syndrome. Maybe there's concerns about cognition. Yeah. So I think all medical professionals and the public need to pay a lot more attention to it. We all forget a few little things. It's when it gets more frequent and their forgetfulness of more important things that you really have to pay attention. And certainly if there's anything that is affecting someone's ability to do functional things like shopping and driving and laundry and taking medication, that should be a clear red flag to seek professional opinion as to whether there's a problem.
Well, Dr. Dalziel, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to discuss Alzheimer's disease and vascular dementia and some of the things that caregivers and patients can do to try to alleviate some of the symptoms and try to maintain normalcy as much as possible.
Thank you for bringing attention to the matter. It's a huge issue for public awareness, and programs like yours are very important.
Thank you very much.